Good morning and welcome from the Kanawha City Church of Christ. We are so glad and so excited that you decided to join us this morning for this time of praise and worship, a time of communion and Bible study. And even though we're at a distance, we still get to go through this time together. So thank you so much for joining us in this. Last week, we began a sermon series that we're calling Rhythms, Keeping Focus in a World Full of Distractions. You see, what we are noticing right now is that our world is experiencing a very different time. But even though the time is different, the distractions remain. The distractions look a little bit different, but there are still distractions that are trying to keep us from having a focus on God. And even as we move forward and hopefully begin to come out of this and go back to what many are calling a new normal, the distractions are still going to remain. And what becomes important for us now is that we begin to establish rhythms in our life. Rhythms of how we are going to spend time putting our focus on God and allowing for God to create transformation in our life. You see, last week we talked a little bit about this idea of the story of our Christian walk. And at the beginning of our story, we look like ourselves. But as the story progresses, what we are aiming for is that we stop looking so much like ourselves. I stop looking so much like Stephen, and I begin to look more and more like the God who created me. We find ways in which we train ourselves for godliness. We grow in godliness. We grow in our, and we allow for ourselves to be transformed. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 penned this verse that we've come to love, where he said, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." But he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We love this verse so much. I love this verse. And yet there's something about it that was pointed out to me here recently in something I read that I'd never really noticed before. And that's the fact that when Paul writes this, he doesn't say, but transform yourself. He says, be transformed. We are the ones being transformed and not the ones that are doing the transforming. So how does that happen? How do we allow ourselves to be transformed? Well, I really like what Ruth Haley Barton said in her book, Sacred Rhythms. She said, this is the most hopeful thing any of us can say about spiritual transformation. She said, I cannot transform myself or anyone else for that matter. But what I can do is create the conditions in which spiritual transformation can take place by developing and maintaining a rhythm of spiritual practices that keep me open and available to God. So that's the hope of our series and our time together, is that we begin to look at ways in which we are opening ourselves up and creating rhythms and maintaining rhythms of spiritual practices in our life that open us up for the transformation that only God can bring to our life.
On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. He him their king in strength divine. Higher the song and strove to join. Higher the song and strove to
in succession to In doing this video, I stopped for a moment and thought, wow, it's a good opportunity for me. I don't have to stand in front of the whole congregation. I just have to look at the camera. If you know me at all, you know I don't do good in front of crowds, but I'll do my best. I'd like to take a few minutes and think of Jesus' great love he had for Heavenly Father and for us who believe and obey his commands. In Matthew 26:39, as Jesus was praying in the garden, he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Even knowing what he had to go through, he was willing to submit to the Father's will. How great his love is. Jesus said in John 15:13-14, "Greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Also in Romans, their author wrote, "God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And Jesus said in John 10:18, no one takes it from me, speaking of his life, but I lay it down of my own accord. This has always amazed me, Jesus knowing what he had to suffer, the scourge and the crucifixion, willing to lay his life down. Just think, at any time during this process, Jesus could have said enough. In Matthew 26:53, Jesus said, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? Yet because his love for the Father and his love for us, he suffered not only the physical pain, but the humiliation of dying a criminal's death. If you know me, you know I love the book of Revelation. And there's a beautiful scene in Revelation 5 I'd like to read to you. It says, then I saw on the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals. And between the throne and the 4 living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with 7 horns and with 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. If you don't have your bread and fruit of the vine, pause now and get it and rejoin us. Pray with me, please. I'm going to use a prayer used by the early Christians. Some think 1st century and some think 3rd. Bow with me as we pray. We give thee thanks, our Father, for the life and knowledge which thou hast made known to us through Jesus Christ, thy servant. To thee be the glory forevermore. As his broken bread was scattered over the hills, and then, when gathered, became one mass, so may the church be gathered from the ends of the earth into thy kingdom. For thine is the glory and the power through Jesus Christ forevermore. Amen. Continue with prayer for the fruit of the vine. We give thee thanks, O Father, for the holy vine of David, thy servant, which thou hast made known to us all through Jesus Christ, thy servant. To thee be the glory forevermore. Amen.
I need thee every
Jan and I love and miss every one of you, and I'm looking forward to being together again in worship. Until then, please stay safe.
Good morning, church. Welcome to the Kanawha City Church of Christ. We've been talking about this idea of finding a rhythm, keeping focus with this rhythm that God places before us. And Stephen, earlier in the video, you had made this quote, or said this quote, and it says, "By developing and maintaining a rhythm of spiritual practices that keep me open and available to God." And that really has struck a chord, right? If we keep going with this rhythm and musical terms, struck a chord in me. And so this idea of maintaining rhythms. And last week we kind of introduced this series together. And last week we came up with this challenge for us this week. And I kind of want to tell about my challenge that I have found.
Okay.
And the challenge last week was to just find rhythms, because we were saying that we're trying to find God's rhythm for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to eliminate those rhythms that we hear that aren't God's.
Okay.
And so last week we asked that, what are the rhythms in your life, or what is even one rhythm in your life that keeps you from finding God's rhythm for you?
Mm.
And so this past week I was asking myself that, you know, day in and day out. And one rhythm that, you know, for me is hard to just die down, is hard to just get rid of even, are video games. Mm. I play video games a lot, and that's probably not a surprise for many out there, but I do. I play video games a lot of the times. And the other day I was, you know, laying on my couch playing my video game, not really doing anything in the video game productive. I was just kind of running around in circles, and it got me wondering, is this a rhythm? Could this be a rhythm? And I think it is. Right. I think it's something that, you know, instead of running around in the video game, I could have been studying my Bible. I could have been praying. I could have been talking. And now I'm not trying to say that I shouldn't play video games ever. I should only read my Bible. I should only pray. I should only, you know, worship God. I'm saying that it gets in the way of that.
Right.
Yep. And so that is that rhythm that I use to ignore God's rhythm for me.
And I think there's a lot of things in our lives that can be considered as rhythms that we all experience. You know, for you, it might be that video game. It's the things that we do regularly and oftentimes at the same time each day, same amount of time each day. That routine. And for many of us, it's different things. You know, for me, one thing that is constant is my evenings are oftentimes, before I go to bed, it's you're somewhat consumed with just watching TV.
Yeah.
And even that, you can kind of become a rhythm, especially when you look at it as, could this be used for something better?
Mm-hmm.
So
we're not here to say get rid of that altogether.
Right.
Never watch TV again, never play video games again, because that just wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately would not work. But could you take an hour of it away? You know, we know this term binge watching now with Netflix, and we probably binge watch way too many hours of Netflix. So can you take one of those hours and devote it to God, or devote it to some form of worship?
Right.
So, but that is what we're asking, you know, during this rhythm theme that we're going by. Mm-hmm. The main questions that we're going to be asking ourselves, asking you, and just asking God, ultimately, are these three things. How do we, once we find these rhythms, how do we experience God, grow closer to God, and respond to God in this rhythm?
Yeah, and that's interesting. And we have we've talked a lot this week about what are the rhythms going to be, that what are the spiritual rhythms that we want to talk about, that that we're going to talk about in this series and use to establish that routine, that rhythm, those spiritual practices that open us up and make us available to God. And one thing we've talked about this week is just simply, where do we start? And we've looked at a few different ones, but I think where we want to start this morning is with this. Psalm 46 and verse 10. It's a passage that we know, it's a passage that we quote, it's a passage that we sing. The psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God."
Yeah.
And you know, when I use that that quote earlier from that book, Sacred Rhythms by Ruth Haley Barton, and she talked about this idea of how we don't, we can't transform ourselves, but rather God is the one that transforms us. And what we do is we develop and we maintain a rhythm of spiritual practices that open us up to God. And so when I think about that idea of be still and know that I am God, I think oftentimes we don't necessarily say it, but we try to act as if we're God in our own lives. And we try to establish who we are, what we want to be, and try to make it happen. And we become so consumed with that that we get very, I think busyness is something that is an issue for us. And you know, at times we're proud of that. You know, people might ask us, how have you been? And we respond, I've been keeping busy. And we say that as if that's a good thing. And there's nothing wrong with the things that we do in our life and you know, having things going on in our life that do keep us busy. But oftentimes our busyness gets in the way of us allowing God to work, because we get so busy with trying to make things happen in our lives. even spiritual things. We get busy doing things where we're trying to transform ourselves rather than allowing God to transform us. And so I think where we want to start and what's so important is us just starting with this idea of just simply being still and knowing that God is God. And I think where I want to start with this is just within this idea of being still, why do we want to be still? And we've talked about different words that that we could use, this idea of being still, this idea of being silent, this idea of experiencing solitude, time to get away and allow all of the distractions of the world to just be put to the side, and even allowing the distractions that we have within ourselves to be put to the side, and putting ourselves alone with God and allowing ourselves to be still before God and recognizing who He is and learning from Him and preparing ourselves to listen to God and allow for Him to transform our lives. Mm. You know, I think so much in my life, even in my spiritual life, I'm constantly going to God and I'm saying, God, this is where I want my spiritual life to go. Yeah. And this is how it's going to happen. And all I need you to do right now, God, is to bless my plan.
Yeah.
And I think there's a point where we've got to just step back and realize that God is the one who's fighting for us. And God is the one who's transforming us. And the best thing we can do is just simply be still and let God be God. Mm. Yeah, I'm reminded of this story in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 14. Moses is leading the Israelites out of Egypt, and they've gone through this final plague, and they're actually on their way out of Egypt. And God hardens the heart of the Pharaoh, and so Pharaoh starts leading all the Egyptian army out after the Israelites and their chariots. And Moses is leading the Israelites. They come right up to the Red Sea, and it's like, oh no, what do we do? Mm-hmm. We've got the sea on one side of us, and we've got the Egyptians on the other. And the Israelites just start complaining about this and saying, what did you bring us out here for, Moses? What, was there not enough graves for us in Egypt? Why did you bring us out here to die? And I want you to listen to this passage together. Exodus chapter 14, beginning at verse 10. It says, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And so the Israelites start crying to Moses and they say, we told you what our plan was. Mm-hmm. Our plan was just simply to serve the Egyptians. We know it wasn't great, but you know, it would have certainly been better than where we are now. Why didn't you just let us serve the Egyptians, stay in Egypt, and just do our time here on earth and be done with it? And I love how Moses responds. Mm-hmm. We pick up in verse 13, and it says, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. Hmm. Yeah, I think that is just in that there's so many great things he tells them. Don't be afraid. Stand up tall and strong. Stand firm. And see what God's getting ready to do. See the salvation of the Lord. And he says, fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. And then he gives them one task. He says, the Lord's going to take care of this. The Lord is going to bring about your salvation. You have only one thing that you have to do. Mm. He says, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Mm. You know, and we think about this idea of being silent within the greater sense of just being still. And how often we need to just step back and be still and just be silent and watch what God is doing, because God has always been in the business of doing great and amazing things so far beyond what we're even able to dream up. Mm-hmm. And you think about the idea that the same God who worked in this moment, and you'll have to read the rest of the story to find out how that turns out, but it turns out pretty well for the Israelites. The same God who brought about the salvation for the Israelites when the Israelites were just silent is the same God who works today in my life. Mm. And what he asks for me is just be silent and let me bring about your salvation. Let me bring about your transformation so that as you live this Christian life, and you develop these rhythms for spiritual transformation, as you live within these rhythms, the rhythms are not the things you do. The rhythms are the ways that it opens you up to see what God is doing. Mm,
that's good.
And that's what we're doing here, is just simply being still and letting God be God, and God be the one who transforms us to stop looking like Stephen and start looking more and more like God. Mm. And so I think that's just such a great place for us to begin, is being still and you experiencing God and drawing closer to God. And maybe now also looking at how we might respond to God.
Hmm. And so what that might look like, Stephen, we talk about this word worship, and that's kind of what we're going with this rhythm theme.
Right.
Is really defining what worship is, because a lot of us oftentimes define worship as the songs or the singing aspect of the worship service, where ultimately the worship service or just worship in and of itself is just that. It's
right.
That honoring God, being with God.
Hmm.
Worship is an invitation. And so how do we worship God? By being still.
Hmm.
You know, like I said, we have this idea that worship is the act of singing. Worship is the act of praying. Worship is always talking and being in conversation with God. But yet now what we're talking about is worship is stillness.
Yep. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It kind of boggles our mind, because your worship is a response to God, but we think of a response having to be audible, having to be something that we do.
Exactly.
And I think you bring up a good point that maybe the response is not doing anything.
Yeah. And so we see that a lot in Scripture. And Donald S. Whitney, which you've introduced me to his book through this study, he uses this term that I really, really liked when I read this, and he says that it's wordless worship.
Hmm.
Wordless worship. And so just the idea of not saying a single thing, but still worshiping God. And that's completely opposite of how our minds are trained.
Yep.
But here's the reality. Worship is just honoring. Worship is being with God.
Hmm.
You know, we could be here together, we could be on this video together and not say a single word.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be boring for them to watch, but we might be doing our own thing. We might be just sitting here, taking each other's presence in. And that's kind of what God is wanting us to do, is find that stillness through Him and for Him. And so I just want to give a couple verses, especially from the Old Testament, that says this. And so, you already mentioned in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." In Psalm, we also read in Psalm 37:7, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him."
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 62:5, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him." You brought up that word silence from the Exodus story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be another term for this stillness that we're looking at.
Right.
That word silence. And so a few more times that we're going to see the silence in the Old Testament. One is in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, "But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." In Zechariah 2:13, it just says, "Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
And Zephaniah 1:7 says, "Be silent before the Lord God."
Mm-hmm.
Now, all three of these verses talk about being silent, keeping silent.
Right.
But there's a word that comes after it.
Yep.
And it's before, well, two words, before God or before Him. They are saying to be silent before the Lord. And so this idea of just being still, this stillness that we have, this silence that we have can be worship.
Wow.
I think sometimes, like you said, we get our busyness in so much. You know, we keep busy, and maybe some of it we keep busy because we don't want to be bored because it kind of makes us sad if we are bored. But I think sometimes we just got to go, 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 because that's how our minds are trained. But, and that we lose that idea of stillness. We lose that idea of just keeping to ourselves. And we can just keep that calmness, that stillness. And God's gonna know that we're worshiping Him.
Right.
Even if we don't say a single word to Him, God's gonna know that. And here's the thing. We might have a storm in our life. We might have, you know, we always say there's a storm a brewing in our life. In Mark chapter 4, verse 39, we know this story. We know where Jesus calms the storm.
Right.
But the first three words that He says to the winds and the sea, or the words that He says to the winds and the sea, He says, "Peace, be still." And the storm was calm. And so we're able to be calm. We're able to be still. And that provide worship. We don't, there are some times that we may feel like worshiping God because we are in His presence, because we are in the woods. We are somewhere that really we're just taking in the awe and the majesty of who He is. And there aren't words to say. And sometimes, I mean, I've felt that before. On, you know, a couple weeks ago, my grandmother, she passed away. And on my way up to Clarksburg to go to the hospital before she passed, I turned off the radio. And that's the thing. For me to turn off the radio, it, you know that normally I'm about to pray to God.
Right.
Like, or just talk. You know, I turn off the radio a lot and I just talk. And I'm like, "Hey guys, what's going on? You know, I just need to come to you and, and pray." But on my way up there, on the way up to the hospital, I turned off the radio because it was about to be a talk time with me and God, and no words. I didn't have the words to say. I didn't know what to say. And so all I said was, "God, you know." And then I was silent. There was 30 minutes of silence in my car. And I got rid of that background noise, and I was just able to drive. I drove for 30 minutes without the radio on, without me talking, without anything happening around. And I think we get so used to hearing a background noise. I do my, or I did my homework in college with the TV on, or with the radio on. I always have to have something in the background of my life, just because that's who I am. And I think we all might be programmed like that. I think we all enjoy just that background noise. And if it's nothing that we control, you know, there's always the birds chirping, or there's the, here, there's the train going by, that we know that we have that background noise. But just to take that away and use that as worship, that's powerful.
Yeah, that is. And I think it is somewhat different for us because we are used to background noise. And you think about even the times when you're around people and you suddenly hit that awkward silence. And then you almost feel the need, like, how do I fill this in? What do I say? And I think there's value in us learning to embrace silence, learning to embrace stillness. And, you know, I really liked what you were talking about, this idea of not just, you know, I talked about experiencing God through the stillness. And you're talking about responding to God through the stillness. And realizing that you can do both. And, you know, I think the more we sit silently before God, we come to realize just how small and insignificant we are in comparison to who He is. And so then when you realize that and you think, well, how do I respond to that? Then you realize there's nothing I can do to respond to that. So that is, that's really good. And I think a great way to respond. So I guess the question becomes, what are some ways that we can begin to develop these practices? What are some ways that we can start to move into to this rhythm of being silent and being still before God and experiencing times of solitude? And I think for one, I think it's learning to embrace even just the small moments that we get. Mm-hmm. That moment where you're stopped at the red light, and having, even if it's 10 seconds, 30 seconds, realizing that the silence may just be a moment for you to stop and recognize God.
Yeah.
But I think also in finding times within our daily routines and developing a rhythm where every day we are finding some time to be alone with God and to experience God in silence, in stillness, and in solitude. Which I know many of the people that are watching this are thinking, how's that even possible?
Yeah.
I think about that within even my own house. how do parents experience silence? Mm. When I'm sure many of the other parents, just like in our household, that it seems like every 30 seconds you're just constantly yelling out, all right, everybody, just keep your hands to yourself. And it's just constant craziness. It's constant chaos. And it's wondering, how do we find stillness? How do we find silence? How do we find solitude to stop and recognize and see and experience what God is working in our life? And I want to suggest maybe a couple of things that can be done. One is to find the times when the kids aren't awake. which is something that you get, but oftentimes even within that time, it's like, all right, now it's time to clean up. Now it's time to do the things that I've been wanting to do. Now it's time to do this, that, or that. And we can always find stuff to do. I think it's important that we begin to also, within all the things that we find to do, realize that just as important, even more important, is developing our spiritual life as well and creating a rhythm within all of that, even if it means sacrificing something else to develop a rhythm to stop and be still and experience God. And so we can do that. But maybe even if you're within a family, if you're within one of those situations where it is constant chaos and you're looking for a way to be still, something I might suggest is this is something great for spouses to do for one another. Offer those moments of silence, offer those moments of stillness as a gift to one another. Mm. Even if it means I'm gonna sacrifice my moments of stillness right now and I'm gonna give you half an hour. Go off and just experience God. Spend some time in silence and in stillness and in solitude. Get away from the kids, get away from the housework, get away from all the busyness and everything else that you could possibly find to do, because there's always more and more things that we can find to do.
Yeah.
And just find a place. And I recommend doing this on a daily basis, maybe even having a place of solitude to where you recognize that this is where I go to experience that solitude and that stillness. And everybody else around you who's part of your everyday life realizes, all right, Dad's in his place of solitude. Mom's in her place of solitude. Mm. And experience that every day. And so what I would suggest is, for instance, with Erica and myself, that I take a time every day where I go to Erica and say, listen, I've got the kids. I'll take care of the housework. You go and you have your 30 minutes with God. Mm. And of course, the response to that also is that Erica would do the same for me. Mm-hmm. And also that when Erica comes to me and says, all right, Stephen, here's your 30 minutes to go just be still before God, I don't say, well, all right, well, that's good, because I've got some things I need to do without the kids and, and find other work to do. I actually embrace the stillness of that moment and say, I'm not going to use this as a time to go just, watch TV. I'm not going to use this as a time to go pay the bills. I'm going to use this as a time to go and set before the Creator and just be still before Him and see what it is that He's doing in my life, how He's fighting in my life for me, and how He is transforming me, and just create that as a rhythm in my life so that I can be open to God to work and to transform me in the way that only He can do.
Yeah.
And so whether that's 10 minutes, whether that's 30 minutes, however long that might be, I'm just encouraging us all to find times to make that happen every day. And also make sure that's, it's just as important for me to watch out for my family.
Mm-hmm.
So encouraging my family to do that, making sure that everybody in my family, even Avery and Macy, that the stillness might be a little bit difficult, but at least getting them to recognize who God is and what God can do in their life. And maybe you could talk a little bit about how maybe the teens can experience that as well.
Yeah, and so, you might be watching this and be single or a teenager and not understand, okay, he's talking about couples. But here's the thing, guys. We're single. We don't have those kids. Yep. We don't have teens. You don't have school right now. And so there are so many opportunities for you right now. A couple months ago, we did a series in our teen class called Unplugged. And this is the stuff that we're talking about. We're talking about unplugging yourself. And you might not be a teenager, and you might need to hear that.
Yep, absolutely.
Unplug yourself from your devices. Unplug yourself from the video games, from the TV, from Netflix, from Hulu. Unplug yourself from your phone. Guys, be still in front of, before God. Be silent before Him for that 10 minutes, for that 30 minutes a day. Just find that time that you figure out is the best time. Maybe every day you figure out that you need that time because stuff has just happened and you're like, all right, it's 4:30. It's time to be still.
Right.
It's time for my stillness. And what does that look like for you? And for everybody, it's different. Mm-hmm. For me, I like taking drives and turning off the radio. And just like I said earlier, I also like sitting on my balcony and just taking in God's wholeness. Teens, and those of us who aren't teens that need to hear that, unplug yourself. This is our time. This is your time to be still and be silent in front before God.
And I think it's very important that we talk about debating where we would begin, and we chose to begin with this idea of being still because this is just the beginning. And as we develop the practice of being still before God, it's also going to open up opportunities for us to respond by being still, but also respond in other ways that we'll talk about as we move forward.
And you might be thinking that we're talking about stillness as prayer. But here's the thing, guys. Stillness is its own category of worship. And so, yes, it's great to pray. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm saying we need to have this foundation of stillness before we can even think about praying. Because we need to worship God. We need to honor Him through our stillness. We need to show Him that we're able to take Him in before we can even do that response like you're talking about, where we respond through silence, where we respond through prayer and reading scripture. This is where it starts.
Yeah, and that's such a good point, because I know with me, like, even in my prayer life can be very busy. Because I go to God and I immediately start just saying, all right, God, this is what I'm praying for. This is what I want. This is what I need. So on and so forth. But God needs to still be God. And I need to take time to be still and know that He is God and allow that to drive what it is that and how I respond. And so what I want to do this week is just send us off with a challenge. A challenge for me, a challenge for you, a challenge for everybody that's watching this, because this is something that we all need to be doing. I think it's doable for us to start with challenging ourselves to find 10 minutes each day where we are stopping and being still and being silent before God. And for those of us who are within relationships and stuff like that, It goes beyond that, in that this is a challenge for me to find 10 minutes to be still before God. But if I care about my family, then it's also a challenge for me to make sure that I am opening up opportunities for everyone else in my family to have that 10 minutes of stillness. But I think doing it every day helps us to develop that rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, and keeping a rhythm that will help us to keep our focus on God through all of the world's distractions.
That's good.
So that's our challenge, 10 minutes of stillness every day this week, and we'll come back next week and see how that works out for us. We'll close now. We're going to have one more song. Appreciate you and the guys leading us in this worship. So we'll close with one more song after this, but maybe before we do that, Jake, why don't you close us with a prayer?
Yeah. All right. We'll bow our heads in prayer. God, we just humbly come before you, and we thank you for today, God. We thank you for every day as you allow us to worship you. God, we thank you for this idea of just finding your rhythm. God, finding the rhythm that you set before us and getting rid of those rhythms that are the distractions, are the rhythms that we're not supposed to follow. God, I just pray for this week as we take on this challenge of finding the 10 minutes a day, at least, to just be still and know that you are God. God, be with this church as we continue these video series, as we're in this pandemic. God, I pray for this nation. I pray for this world as we are continuing in on this pandemic. I just pray for the first responders, the medical workers, God, everybody who's out there fighting this, battling this. God, allow them the opportunity to be still and recognize who you are. God, be with us as we continue this lesson on rhythms and finding who you are through this. God, just be with us until we can come together again. And I pray all of this in your precious and holy name, and amen.
Amen.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh. Is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you, every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you when temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you, every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness, Oh God, how I